Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Your points are worth more than you think. This first-class flight to Tokyo, you can book it in your credit card portal for 1.4 million points. Yowzers. With PointMe, you could redeem just 120,000 points for that same flight. Now that's more like it. PointMe gets you 6 to 12 times the value for your points. Your credit card points are worth more than you think. PointMe. Better flights. Fewer points.
Get started today at point.me. That's point.me.
Crazy town. That's what happened in Chase Center. There's always the potential. Crazy town. Even these Warriors who have won four titles in the past decade, nine seasons, four titles, they still continue to find ways to etch their name in the history books in different scenarios, in different categories. Another first for these Warriors tonight. And it blows me away. I know this series is far from over, so please do not take this as me expecting the Warriors to win or predicting that the Warriors will win. I do think you've got a good ebb and flow and two formulas now that work. One for the Lakers, one for the Warriors. We'll see which team prevails. But it blows me away that one of these teams is going to end up in the Western Conference Finals. One team that during the regular season managed 11 road wins. That team survived Sacramento by winning back-to-back road games, games 5 and 7 of its opening round series. Okay, so that team has a ton of championship heart and metal. They play better when the pressure is ratcheted up. They really do. But it still blows my mind that the Golden State Warriors, after the season they had where they barely keep themselves out of that play-in tournament, that Warriors team, with all of its warts, all of its flaws.
There's something seriously wrong with us.
All of the admonitions of one Steve Kerr, that they might actually end up in the Western Conference Finals again. Or it's the Lakers, who only thanks to a late surge in the regular season, the return of LeBron James, thanks to the doctor that he credits with being the LeBron James of feet. It's only a late surge in which they won 8 of their last 10 that they managed to make the play-in tournament and survive that gimmicky little wrinkle, courtesy of the NBA, and then take out the Memphis Grizzlies with authority, I might add. That game 6 win last Friday night was stunning. But now here they are with the home court advantage. And by taking one of the games at Chase Center, they have themselves a little edge. Either one of these teams getting to the Western Conference Finals is unexpected. Yes, there's a lot of star power on the court when these two teams tip it off. And sure, when you think about the potential, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, we know about Andrew Wiggins from last year, Anthony Davis, a monster game in the opener, LeBron James, well, he's only the NBA's all-time scoring leader. Sure. Anything can and will happen. But my goodness. You're talking about one of these two very flawed teams could end up in the Western Conference. Well, one of them will end up in the Western Conference Finals. I'm not sure which one would surprise me more. The Lakers retooled their roster at the trade deadline, but then they lost LeBron. And again, they only put themselves in the postseason conversation because they won 8 of their last 10. That's how tight the West was, remember? I mean, it's not what people typically will say about the NBA, which is, oh, the playoffs are boring. Everything goes according to seed and form. Oh, that's not happening this year. Not only are these your 6 and 7 seeds. These are the 6 and 7 seeds right now. But we already had a 2 eliminated in the West and a 1 in the East, who, by the way, just made a coaching change. Man, bombs away. It was crazy town in Chase Center. And as I say, even this Warriors roster finds ways to raise the bar and set new historical marks for both the team and for the NBA. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Final show of the work week. Boom, baby. Excited for that. I've been telling family and friends that I need another 3-4 days. And then, whew, not only can I breathe again, but the chaos and hectic nature of April will finally be in the rearview mirror. It was hectic and chaotic, all right. Mostly my fault, because I thought it would be a good idea to teach a class at Syracuse in the middle of April. And then run a half marathon, too, because why not? But the half marathon will be done on Sunday. And then I'm just so happy to stay home and do nothing but sports things and just recovering. I got a lot of home projects that are calling my name. But first, this show. No one's checking out. Don't even think that. We'd love to have you find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page, too. If you haven't taken our poll, it is still live. Lots of responses already, but you still have a couple hours left, at least on Twitter, before the poll closes. Who finishes 2023 with a better record? Is it the Jets or the Packers? Go check out the results. And coming up next hour, we know Aaron Rodgers is giddy about New York, and New York is gushing about Aaron Rodgers. But what about Green Bay and the Packers fans? How do they feel? What about their draft? How is Aaron's old team?
Don't have your number. You're not going to have my number.
How is Aaron's old team, minus a few teammates that are now with him on the Jets, how is Green Bay moving forward? Excited to welcome back our friend Annie Herman, who is getting set for rookie minicamps this weekend. So he'll be there. We'll get to see what it looks like without Aaron Rodgers. Now, they have had voluntary OTAs, not always open to the press. But Jordan Love is the man. What are the expectations for Jordan this season? That's a good question. And so we'll talk to Andy inside of an hour from now. Also, before we bid farewell and move into the weekend, we are going to send a new candidate into the After Hours Hall of Fame. Yeah! It has been such a long time since we've done a Hall of Flame induction. I bet there are a bunch of people out there who don't even remember what it is. Any chance we have a montage? Just a montage, not the whole kit and caboodle with the production and the open, but a montage, a sample, if you will, of what it means to be in the After Hours Hall of Flame. How do you get inducted into the After Hours Hall of Flame? Well, first of all, you guys have to vote. So when we introduce you to the candidates, which will come up next hour, you get to pick. We'll need you to cast your ballots. And it will be both Twitter and Facebook. We've picked 4 worthy candidates, we believe. But if you have no knowledge of what a Hall of Flame induction looks like and sounds like, it really was born out of me saying a word wrong. I meant to say Hall of Flame. No. See what I mean? I meant to say Hall of Fame. What I said was Hall of Flame. And from that point, we created this special category, this special place where athletes and coaches, every now and then, a great weather forecaster, a meteorologist like Jim Cantore is in the After Hours Hall of Fame, because they give us a rant that must be immortalized. I got to tell you the truth. There are some athletes who are in the Hall of Flame more than once. I think Charles Barkley is in there more than once. Definitely a couple of candidates from inside the NBA on TNT that you all chose. We have four good candidates. We're excited. I have no idea which way this is going to go. But in case you don't know what we're talking about, Jay has a sample. A few previous inductees who are now immortalized in the After Hours Hall of Flame.
If you can't quit working in the building and work hard, do your lifts and do what you're supposed to do, you should not be here.
Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra.
Oh, dear.
Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. Lord, now they're cuffing him. But pull up his drawers, whatever you do.
When I came in, they're like, yo, you got to, like, show, like, you got to be the dog. And I'm like, man, we got dogs. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
Bro, I've been working on my f***ing glutes all year. I thought about just mooning them. A big gonna... old chocolate ass and MetLife.
OMG. How long ago was that, Jay? Do you have the date on our last Hall of Flame induction? Because let me guess here. I'm going to go 8 months, if not longer. It's longer? Oh, no. Has it been a year?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? We haven't done a Hall of Flame induction in over a year?
Our last winner was Antonio Brown after he left MetLife Stadium by taking his jersey
off. So what was the date? Do you remember?
I believe it was in January.
Oh, my gosh. January of 2022. This is absolutely my favorite feature that we do here on the show. And we went a full year without inducting anyone into the After Hours Hall of Flame. It's not because we haven't had candidates. We've had plenty. But gosh, and this is not woe is me or woe is us. It's just two people trying to manage everything for a national radio show is at times overwhelming. And we need to focus on the main thing, which is the show. And then we, of course, need to keep up with our social media. And football never stops. And then sports never stop. And our YouTube channel sometimes sits idle for a few months at a time. And apparently we have not done a Hall of Flame induction in over a year. So yeah, there's probably a lot of you who don't even know what we're talking about. Okay, so stay tuned. Next hour. In fact, just over an hour from now, we will have the candidates unveiled for your listening pleasure for the first time. And then we'll ask you to vote in hour number 4. So some of you may have to check it out in the podcast. In hour number 4, you will have to, well, you'll get to hear the candidates again, but you'll have to be done with your balloting so that we can unveil the winner. Or the loser. Nah, I think it's a winner. You get to be part of the After Hours Hall of Flame. That means you're never forgotten. You're a piece of the dark side, if you will. So that's coming up next hour, as well as in our fourth hour. I can't believe it. How has it really been a year? That's stunning. You know what else is stunning? To see, for the first time in franchise history, these Golden State Warriors have never scored at least 40 points in two separate quarters of the same playoff game. The Warriors that made a name for themselves, not to mention won a whole bunch of hardware, those Warriors that went to 5 straight NBA finals, yeah, those Warriors are the ones we saw in the second and third quarter. The Splash Brothers locked in. Draymond Green running the show, playing with such intensity. Up and down the court, bombs away, three-pointers flying. but also plug and play. Different guys. Steve Kerr actually started Jamichael Green instead of Kevon Looney, who apparently is under the weather a little bit. What does Jamichael Green do? Well, he responds with 15 points in 13 minutes. This is the Warriors. The Warriors brand of basketball that works so well for them during those five consecutive runs to the title. So I wonder if LeBron James was having a little bit of deja vu. It was all hands on deck. Now, granted, guys played more minutes off the bench in the fourth quarter because this one completely got away from LA. But every starter in double figures, every player knowing his role. Most impressively, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry hitting deep shots from every angle with guys draped on them, running off screens, moving without the ball, waiting until their teammates found them, and then catch and release in the blink of an eye. This is what the Warriors are capable of. And honestly, this brand of basketball where they're sharing the rock, where they're setting each other up, where there's movement without the basketball, where the offense is pretty. These are the Warriors that captivated the attention of NBA fans going back to those five straight finals.
Draymond to facilitate here. Nice bounce pass to Klay, but Reeves recovers. Runs Reeves through a screen. Klay shoots on the way. Three ball, and he's still hot. Knocked it down. He's got 22. Curry behind the back with a dribble. Avoids Anthony Davis. Splits traffic. Beats Jamichael Green. Up top to Wiggins. Open three look. Top of the key. Knocked it down. 74-60. The Warriors have their largest lead of the game right now. Draymond right down Broadway. Feeds over Jamichael Green. Corner three up. Good for Jamichael Green. 77-64. Curry quickly up the floor. Finds the cutter. Jamichael Green goes for the dunk. And got it with James on his back. 79-64. Wiggins up the floor.
Push it.
Takes it left side. Thompson. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball. Good! Timeout, Lakers. Klay drives it on. Russell goes up and scores the layup. 99-74 with 2:10 to go in the third. Klay's got 30.
Tim Roy, Tom Tolbert on Warriors Radio. The Warriors scored 41 points in the second quarter, 43 in the third quarter. They've never done that before. Put at least 40 on the board in two separate quarters of a playoff game. Running the Lakers off the court. 84-47, if you consider those two quarters. It was astonishing to watch. And yet, something very familiar about it. We could give you a montage of Klay shots. We could give you a montage of Steph Curry shots. But it really isn't just those two. As much as they earned or re-earned the name Splash Brothers in game two against the Lakers. Steph actually had more assists in this game than he's had in any playoff game under Steve Kerr. So Steph is willing to do whatever he needs to do to set up the hot shooters, in this case, Klay being one of them.
He's willing to do whatever it takes to win. I think he knew going into Game 7 in Sacramento that he had to do what he did. And he doesn't have to take on that mentality every single night. Tonight he didn't. Got into the early foul trouble, but just the way things were clicking, I think Steph was very content just, being a more traditional point guard and, 20 assists or 20 points and 12 assists. That's a pretty good line for a point guard.
There's a point of emphasis on trying to get the ball in my hands a little bit more to start, but the rest of it's just kind of read and react, taking what's there. They obviously had a game plan and we tried to make adjustments, and I'm sure that'll continue throughout the rest of the series. And that's the beauty of what we can do, is playing a lot of different ways, trying to create good offense a lot of different ways, using gravity.
gravity.
But that was connected with our defense and the emphasis on not fouling, trying to make them earn, everything they got on that end of the floor. Obviously, Bron came out hot, hit some tough jumpers early, but we stuck with the game plan and played to our favor.
Steph referring to what LeBron did out of the gate when the Lakers actually built a bit of a lead, not one that would be insurmountable. We're not talking about what the Lakers did against the Grizzlies early in their game six, but the Lakers had the upper hand for a while there and got up by 6-7 points in that opening quarter because LeBron put in 14. He was nearly perfect from the field and it looked like it could be a LeBron game. But then, man, the Warriors go on one of their classic runs. Steph and Klay, specifically Klay, got hot, going 8 of 11 from the three-point line, from beyond the three-point line. And it was really good to see. I know he was frustrated with himself going back to, I think it was game 7, actually, against the Kings, but even the opener of this series, when he felt like he wasn't connecting on his shots. And now, and you'll hear him talk about it a little bit later, now he gets to play in a postseason game in Los Angeles. Something he's dreamed about. So excited for him. Over and above whatever this series plays out and however it turns out, just because of everything he's done to get back to the form that we remember of Klay Thompson prior to the injuries. We're going to hear from Darvin Ham as well as LeBron. And what happened to Anthony Davis? Remember his monster game in the opener? Well, in this one, he only took 11 shots. Ends up with 11 points. They're going to need more from Anthony Davis than just 11 points if they're going to rally. 127-100. That's the final score. Basketball in the postseason isn't always pretty, but this was a pretty offensive performance for the Warriors. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Look forward to connecting with you. Also on our Facebook page. Thank you for all of your responses to our May the 4th be with you post. It was the day I embraced my Star Wars nerdiness even more than usual, starting just about 24 hours ago and continuing all throughout the day. So many of you sent us your own tweets, your own Facebook posts. I saw that the one that we put up on our Facebook page actually got shared 30 plus times.
That's awesome.
It didn't just get liked or commented on. You all shared it on your own pages 30 plus times, which is awesome. So we're glad to be in the center of the Star Wars, any Star Wars conversation.
These
really
aren't the droids we're looking for.
It's a drop. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Dante with a minute 23 throws it back to number 30. Curry in return back to Dante. Drives by James. Goes to the corner to Moody. Pump fake. Bounce pass. Threw it away. DiVincenzo goes to the deck to get it. And throws a bounce pass from his backside to Wiggins. Over to Curry. Curry fades left. Goes up with a three. It's good! Tom will be diagramming that play on YouTube later on tonight.
So I most certainly will not.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steph Curry with some outrageous threes. That's just what he does. He dazzles. Even his family can't get over it. They show his dad and his wife in the stands, and even they are astonished by some of the feats that he pulls off. But it was 30 points for Klay Thompson, and he was also dazzling with the shots on one foot, the pull-up over two Lakers, the deep stroke. And so for him to have 5 three-pointers in the first half, that's the most in any half so far this postseason. So is Klay heating up now at the time at which the Warriors would need him the most? And there are a couple of shots where he's half turned away from the basket, for heaven's sakes. But both these guys have the ability to wheel and deal, to chuck and duck from deep. And to have them both put on a show in this game was a lot of fun. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Klay Thompson now can look ahead finally to game 3 in his hometown of Los Angeles. And I love the perspective but also the family affair, because his dad is Michael Thompson, who is part of the Lakers radio network, has been for a long time, was with the Lakers going back to Showtime in the 80s. And this is something Clay has wanted to do since he was a boy with his dad.
From a life standpoint, it's such an incredible experience to play in front of my friends and family. I mean, I would go to Staples as a high school basketball player with my pops, just dreaming of playing on that floor, playing, you know, against the best in the world. Now to be here and be a part of it, I don't lose sight of that perspective of how great this opportunity is. And I'm just, you know, excited to do it in a building where all my hoop dreams came about. So, you know, I have so much respect for just the opportunity ahead for me. And as I'm the huge Kobe fan, obviously, he was my biggest inspiration. And I'm just going to play my hardest, you know, just to honestly honor him and Gigi, because without his play and all those years of me viewing his tenacity on the court, I would not be the athlete I am today.
Every now and then, Clay will wax poetic. He's pretty deep guy, though most of the time what we hear about from him is basketball and how much he loves to play basketball. But this is a big deal. He's always wanted to participate in a postseason game against the Lakers in that building that already has such a place in his family's history. As for the Lakers, they do have the home court because they won the opener, but they know that this is a challenge, right? Because the Warriors are not tired anymore like they were coming off the Sacramento Kings series. They certainly found extra energy, extra pop in those legs and in the offense in game number two. And Draymond Green with his defense. Remember, he was in foul trouble in the opener, but went toe-to-toe with Anthony Davis in this game two.
Dre, he's going to do his work early. And, you know, it's the reason why he's a perennial all-defensive player. You know, he's going to force tough catches, and when he's on the ball, his on-ball activity is second to none.
I took all the same shots I took in game one. You know, just missed them. Elbow jumpers, pocket passes to the floater, same exact looks. Didn't shoot no shot that I didn't shoot in game one, just missed them. That's all. Like Bron said, they made adjustments. Shot the ball extremely well from three. So we'll be better. I'll be better. You know, making those shots. You know, get back home on our home floor, and try to take care of business.
He had 11 points, 7 rebounds, 3 block shots. Just not nearly as big a factor as what he was. And because he only took 11 shots, it's not like he shot that poorly, but he only took 11 shots, which is a tribute to Draymond really clamping down and not allowing him to catch the ball, much less get a good look at the hoop. As for LeBron, he had 14 points in the first quarter, so he got off to a hot start and actually shot well from the field, 10 of 18, so finished as the leading scorer with 23, but just not enough around him. And honestly, when the Warriors go on those runs, if you can't respond, you are, I mean, all of a sudden you're going to look up and you're trailing by 20 points.
You got to keep scoring. Get to the free throw line as well, or just get points in the paint. You know, they're going to go on runs. That's what they do. You know, but you got to keep scoring, trying to hold the fort down, obviously. You know, but you give credit where credit is due. They played exceptionally well tonight, and we didn't. And the series is tied 1-1, so that's where we're at.
That is true. So big picture perspective is most important for the Lakers right now. But man, it's like a freight train when the Warriors get into one of those grooves. And remember, they did it at the end of game number one. They had the 14, I think it was 14 straight points. It could have been 13. But they had that run that pulled them all the way back from a double-digit deficit into a tie with the Lakers in the late stages. So yeah, we kind of saw sparks of this at the end of the opener. They just couldn't quite get over the hump. This was much more like the Warriors. And if you're wondering about the three-pointers, here's the crazy part. Exactly 21 in each of these games. The difference is they went 21 of 53 in the opener, 21 of 42 in the second game, which means they shot 50% from beyond the arc. And these are not all open looks either. Again, what Steph and Clay are doing, but it wasn't just them. It was Andrew Wiggins. I mean, Jamichael Green had a few in there as well. It was bombs away. It's like contagious if you're on the Warriors.
I'm human, so when I don't make shots, it can affect my mood.
That's game number two in the books. The only basketball game on Thursday night, a couple of hockey games too. Also on Thursday, Lamar Jackson speaking about that contract that he's just signed with the Baltimore Ravens. So we will get to him coming up next on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, final show of the work week.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You know, for the last few months, there's been a lot of he say, she say, a lot of nail biting, a lot of head scratching going on. But for the next 5 years, it's a lot of flock going on. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's go, man. Can't wait to get there. Can't wait to be there. Can't wait to light up M&T for the next 5 years, man. Let's get it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Lamar Jackson's message on social media right after he and the Ravens agreed to terms on a brand new deal. 5 years, $260 million. Also set NFL records for signing bonus, for average per season. And then it was officially signed on Thursday, which means we got a chance to hear from Lamar Jackson in an actual press conference, not over social media. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It was Lamar. It was John Harbaugh. It was Eric DaCosta. It was a cast and crew of thousands.
Nobody's got it better than the Ravens.
Lamar Jackson remains a Raven. All is forgiven, I guess. I'm telling you, the story, the narrative, the perspective, the emotions, seems like they're all on the same page now.
I really didn't care for other teams, really. I just really wanted to get something down here. I wanted to be here. It was like, man, okay, other teams cool, but I want to be a Raven. Like I said something 2018, you know, I think it was April 26th, if I'm not mistaken. And I meant that, you know, I'm standing on that until I get it done. So I really wanted to get this done before anything, before I even want to, before my time up and branch off somewhere else. You know, I really want to finish my career here and win the Super Bowl here.
Okay. Okay. It's good to know. I'm glad that he always had the perspective that it was Baltimore first. I don't know what that means about asking for a trade or whether or not that was true. It's actually Lamar who told us that he asked for a trade. Maybe he felt like he had no recourse. He felt like there was no way he was going to get what he wanted or needed from the Ravens. So, all right. I do believe that this contract smooths over everything because both sides are happy. But what did happen with the negotiations before this deal became the agreement?
I was always keeping in contact. Eric reached out to me a lot. And, you know, I, you know, comment back. Coach reached out to me and we, you know, go back and forth with that. But definitely having Odell and, you know, those guys, you know, reach out to me as well. It's like, man, we need you here. And it was like, you know, I want to be there. It's not like I want to leave anyways. It was, you know, business.
All right. The Ravens, of course, signed Odell while they were still negotiating with Lamar Jackson. So then Odell became a recruiter, if you will. He became a member of the Ravens who was putting pressure on Lamar of sorts. Hey, come on, man. We really need you here. You can't leave us. Nelson Agholor also signs in free agency. And so you had two new receivers before you ever had the quarterback. And then they drafted a wide receiver, too, in the first round. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He says that the fans actually, the fans wanting him, the Ravens wanting him ultimately made a big difference, but that the fans actually made him a lot more emotional than he would have been otherwise simply because they were freaking out.
I love the fan base. Like,
like crazy. Like I can't even explain it. Like how much I love the fan base, you know. I was getting messages from them, like people crying, like sad in my DMs. I'm like, man, like they got me sad. I'm like, bro, like y'all don't know what's going on. Like just calm down, man. Like we making progress. I want to tell them we're making progress, but I don't want to tell them because I don't want to spoil what's going on, you know. So it's like, man, just be patient. If anything, be patient with me because like I'm not trying to go nowhere, you know. No matter what you guys see. Like, the final say-so is what's going to be printed out when I'm signing and stuff like that. Don't worry about what everyone else is saying.
Sounds very wise. Sounds as though he knew it the whole time. And yet I'm not quite sure I believe that from either part, right? The fact that the Ravens gave him the non-exclusive franchise tag. And that they were willing to dangle him out there. They were willing to allow another team to give him a contract and they could decide to match or not. But they opened up what I'd say would be a bit of a risky window there. If there was another team that wanted him, they could have lost him. At least they would have gotten the two first round draft picks in return. But if you listen to the Ravens all along, what they've said is they want Lamar as their QB. So they did take a risk, but they were pretty confident that Lamar wasn't going to find a better offer somewhere else. And maybe the Ravens were hoping that another team would set the market and they then could either match or not. But if they matched, at least they wouldn't have to keep negotiating. But he says, all along, this was the plan. And all along, he felt terrible because he couldn't reveal his plan or the negotiations to the fans who were freaking out. He just wanted them to calm down and wait until it was done. Ah. Well, one listener who's from Baltimore reached out to me on social media and asked me if I thought that Lamar getting this contract without an agent, though he did have someone help him negotiate in the late stages, right? He did. But this listener asked me whether or not I felt that would start a new precedent of agents becoming less and less relevant. Actually, I think it's the opposite. I think players around the league realize how critical the role of an agent and that most of them wouldn't end up in this situation where they get the contract that they want. In most cases, either they would get taken for a ride by the club who does have financial people who are trained in this particular area or would feel like they weren't getting everything that they deserved because there's not that buffer that go between, not to mention the hard feelings. But Lamar, he got what he needed.
If you're going to represent yourself, you know, you gotta have a strong mind. I wouldn't say you get out there and put your feelings in it because it's not about feelings. You know, you can't take things with a, oh, yeah, I don't like what you said. I don't agree with this. You know, it's like what they feel is how you feel. You know, it's a grown man thing at the end of the day. So you got to be a grown man if you're going to handle business.
All right. And he did get his deal. Ultimately, that's what matters most. But then why bother revealing that you asked for a trade? And by the way, the big reveal coming minutes before John Harbaugh sits down to do a press availability in Phoenix at the league meetings. Why do that? There was definitely gamesmanship going on here. There was definitely pressure from both sides. There was a leak by the Ravens, and I do believe it was the Ravens who leaked the initial contract terms. Lamar was going back and forth with them on social. He scrubbed his social media. He put up cryptic posts. No, there were definitely hurt feelings there. And there was definitely at least one questionable choice by Lamar and one by the Ravens in the negotiations, I think designed to make the other side look dumb, the other party look dumb, or to maybe turn the tide in one direction or another. But Lamar's happy now and he's looking forward. He's got some really lofty expectations for 20, well, for 23 and beyond.
I think I told someone, like, man, I want to throw for like 6,000 yards with the weapons we have. Like, you know, and I'm not an individual award type of guy or a stat watcher, you know. I just want to do that, you know, because no one ever done it. And I feel like we have the weapons to do it. You know, we got explosive guys.
Just for reference, the record for passing yards in a season is held by Peyton Manning. 5,477 yards. That's a decade old now. There are only a handful of quarterbacks, actually, who've ever gone over 5,000 passing yards in a season. Drew Brees did it 7 times. No, I take that back. Drew Brees did it 5 times, excuse me. So he kind of set the standard. Peyton's in there. Tom Brady's in there. There are a few guys who've done it. But a quarterback is never... Well, not in this particular era, right? So where the rules have changed and now quarterbacks can't even be sniffed without a flag being thrown. If you have to go all the way back to Dan Marino for a 6,000-yard passing season. But currently, since the rules changes that facilitate offense, that protect quarterbacks more than ever before... It's not the norm, even though the NFL wants to facilitate offense. So, yeah, it's definitely a, it's quite a lofty goal. Now, if you, just so you know, Dan Marino did it with playoffs, right? Peyton Manning's, his was in a regular season. So there's the perspective. So no one's thrown for more than 6,000 yards in a regular season. Dan Marino did it in leading his team to the Super Bowl. So you got to consider the playoff games, but also the fact that the era has changed too. Go Lamar. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing, help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL plasma center and be rewarded for your generosity.